There is no wonder that Emma Lazarus wrote from her heart, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." They came here without knowing one word of English. They worked in sweatshops and they were peddlers, but the second generation learned perfect English, and the third, together with all other nationalities, or ethnic groups as you call them in America, built up this great country. A miracle indeed. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 285, When Reagan Hosted Begin. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. Yehuda Avner describes in The Prime Ministers how, in a meeting with Menachem Begin, the American Jewish leader Max Fischer was asked by the Prime Minister about the nature of the new American president, Ronald Reagan. Fischer, in turn, Yehuda Avner tells us, asked Begin if he, Begin, was a religious man. After Begin responded in the affirmative, citing the recent miracle of Osirak, Fischer went on to discuss Reagan's own faith. Yehuda Avner writes, quote, "The reason I ask," said Fischer in his slow manner, "is because the president is also a devout man, and because of his innate commitment to Israel, I think you and he will eventually get along just fine once you get to know each other." "What do you mean, his innate commitment to Israel?" Mr. Fischer indulged in a satisfied smile. "Well, I myself once heard him say that for all the differences between Christianity and Judaism, we both worship the same God, and the Holy Land is the Holy Land to us both. All of us in America," he said, "have our ancestry in some other part of the world, and there is no nation like us except Israel. Both are melting pots," he said, "everyone coming from somewhere else to live in freedom." Those were his words, and I believe he meant every one of them. So Yehuda Avner describes Fischer's reflection. And thus, not long after Osirak, when Begin visited the White House, he was hosted by Reagan for a dinner, where the speeches were delivered in humor and mirth, but which also, each in its own way, tell us a great deal, politically and theologically, about America, about Israel, and about Jerusalem. At the dinner, Reagan's remarks, as was his wont, were filled with jokes and good humor. And we ought not to be surprised that this former actor turned to a reference to Broadway and film. Reagan said, quote, "I'm not sure whether you saw it or not, Mr. Prime Minister, but in the play Fiddler on the Roof, one of the townspeople asked the rabbi if he had a proper blessing for the Tsar. The rabbi answered, 'Why, of course. May God bless and keep the Tsar far away from us. Prime Minister Begin, as you know, the Jewish people have never been far away from sorrow and depression during their long and troubled history. And now, I don't believe your own influence on Jewish history goes as far back as the time of the Tsars. Now you understand that there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. You will hear no criticism of age tolerated in this house. Lately, I've been heartened to remember that Moses was 80 when God commissioned him for public service, and he lived to be 120. And Abraham was 100 and his wife Sarah 90 when they did something truly amazing. He survived to be 175. So, Prime Minister, we haven't even hit our full stride yet." So Reagan said in the midst of much laughter from the crowd. And then Reagan said to Prime Minister Begin, "As a political inmate in those Soviet dungeons, you learned the horrors of totalitarian abuse. You fought against Hitler and you spent your early adult years helping create a haven for your people in a new Israel. Devoted to democratic traditions, you served as leader of your country's loyal opposition for nearly 30 years. Consistent in your views and skillful in presenting them, you were elected leader of a free people who recently reaffirmed their esteem for you. Called as a peacemaker, you boldly seized the opportunity for peace with Egypt and skillfully pursued it to a successful conclusion." So Begin said in his speech, and then at this point, he unexpectedly referenced a famous Talmudic story. It is funny, reading or watching the speech, because Reagan clearly did not know who the rabbinic figure in the story actually was and was not even sure how to pronounce the name of the man whose story he was citing. The story in the Talmud is about a sage named Choni. Here is how Reagan said it. Quote, "Mr. Prime Minister, the commitment you're making is a commitment to future generations. In the Talmud, there is a story about a man, and I should have asked you whether the pronunciation was Honi or Honai, but one of the two. And one day he was walking along and he saw an old man planting carob trees. It's said that the carob tree doesn't produce fruit for 70 years. And Honi commented to the old man, 'Certainly you don't expect to see the fruit from this tree.' And the old man answered, 'I came into this world and people had planted trees for me. I am planting for those who will come after me.' Well, thank you, Mr. Prime Minister, for planting these seeds of peace." And Reagan concluded, "Ladies and gentlemen, I ask all of you to join me in a toast to Prime Minister Begin and his friends and the Israeli people. And if I may refer to that rabbi from Fiddler on the Roof once again, may the good Lord bless and keep you always close to us." So Reagan said, and there's much about the speech that is amusing, but we must fully appreciate its significance, in part intended and in part unintended. The story in the Talmud with Choni begins with the sage pondering the description of the psalm, When the Lord returned the captives of Zion, we were as dreamers. Reading the verse literally, and knowing that it took 70 years for the Babylonian captives of Zion to begin to return from exile, Choni asked what it meant to say that we were as dreamers when the captives returned from Babylon. How could one sleep or dream for 70 years? Choni, the Talmud goes on to tell, then saw a man planting a carob tree. And then Choni himself fell asleep and slept for 7 decades, and upon awaking, found the grandchild of that man that planted the tree, eating of the tree's fruits. The symbolic meaning of the story seems to be that the rabbis were teaching that the next return to Zion, to Jerusalem, would occur in the face of all difficulty, because each Jewish generation planted for the next, sowing thereby the seeds of Jewish hope and faith and love for Zion in the next generation, which meant that the return to Zion was a tribute to those that had come before, to those that had planted the seeds of faith before. How fitting it is then that Begin himself in 1979 remembered his own parents at the White House as he recited that very same psalm. And understanding that makes it all the more striking that the story of Choni, the story of Jewish endurance, the story inspired by the Psalm of the Return to Zion, was referenced by Reagan in his welcome to the Prime Minister of Israel. We can bear this in mind as we then study Begin's response to Reagan's speech at the very same dinner. After expressing his gratitude to the president for his hospitality, Begin focused on the exceptionalism of America and the American idea. Begin said, quote, "Both our nations, Mr. President, are built on vision. Vision is no utopia. It is the prerequisite for changing reality. Your founding fathers expressed their vision in the Declaration of Independence, mainly written by Jefferson, proclaiming self-evident truths. But if they are self-evident, why proclaim? But that proclamation called upon people to go into battle, poorly armed against professional soldiers, and after great suffering, win the day and create the greatest republic ever known in history." So Begin said, and we must understand that Begin is making an important point, which is that even truths that are taken as self-evident need to be repeated and eloquently proclaimed from generation to generation, especially if one wishes members of that society to be prepared to fight to defend those truths. Begin then continued to express his admiration of America. He said, "Your founding fathers wrote a constitution, original, unknown in those days, and it works for more than 200 years. There are some crises from time to time, but out of every crisis, democracy comes out stronger, deeper in the United States. And the Constitution works with some amendments. Then you had the vision of building real democracy. Perhaps this is the greatest achievement of the American people, proving in the 18th century that it is not so that one man should inherit a throne and a crown and rule millions of people at his will. The people should decide who should form the government, and they should accept the government willingly. This all nations learned from you." So Begin said. And Begin, in the speech, was stressing his deep admiration for America. Begin, according to Avi Shilon, once quipped that given his own reverence for democratic republicanism, it was ironic that his supporters exclaimed, "Begin Melech Yisrael, Begin King of Israel." Begin at the White House then went on to discuss the warm welcome given by America to Jews, emphasizing at the same time his own faith. Begin continued, saying as follows, "And perhaps the greatest vision of all was the acceptance of so many people of various origins from many countries. Here I would like to stress, because I believe in divine providence with all my heart, that as far as the Jewish people are concerned, a real miracle happened to them. In 25 years, at the turn of the 2 centuries, 2.5 million Jews crossed the ocean and came to the hospitable shores of this country. If they hadn't done that, they would have been lost, their children and their grandchildren. Not a third of the Jewish people would have been wiped out. Perhaps 2/3 of them would have been destroyed. Who knows whether we would have been able to recreate our statehood? This is one of the great miracles in human history. Those 25 years, 100,000 people every year coming to these shores. There is no wonder that Emma Lazarus wrote from her heart, 'Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free.' They came here without knowing one word of English. They worked in sweatshops and they were peddlers. But the second generation learned perfect English, and the third, together with all other nationalities, or ethnic groups as you call them in America, built up this great country. A miracle indeed. And I want now, after so many years, to express, may I say morally, historically, our deep gratitude that this great country made it possible for 2.5 million of my brethren to come here and save their lives and the lives of 3 other generations. End quote. So Begin said, and as we see in these remarks, he deliberately cited a famous poem about America by an American Jew, Emma Lazarus, who herself had been a descendant of some of the earliest Jews in America. Begin then turned to joining the story of America with the story of modern Israel. He continued, quote, "We also build on vision, Mr. President. On a smaller scale, of course, because we are a New Hampshire, more or less, no more, a small country. But when we won our freedom in the same way you did, fighting for it, not getting it as a gift, we were only 600,000. Now we are 3.5 million. Relatively, proportionally, perhaps, it is very close. And so that was the vision, to bring people from the four corners of the world, as the prophet really foresaw in his vision in the ancient times, from the four corners of the world back to the land of the forefathers, back, return, old and young and limping and sick and everyone, so as the prophets wrote exactly. End quote. Thus Begin linked the story of America and modern Israel while referencing the fulfillment of the prophet's vision. After then linking the openness of America to the Jews, as he had expressed in his citation of Emma Lazarus, Begin went on to describe how Israel now kept its doors open for Jews around the world. And then, knowing Reagan's penchant for jokes, Begin turned to humor as well, saying jokingly and amidst much laughter from the crowd, quote, "Now, before I raise my glass, I would like to tell a story. I cannot but tell at least one story after hearing your speech, Mr. President. At least one story. But I must caution my respected listeners that detect a chauvinistic Israeli undertone." So Begin said, and the transcript notes, as it does throughout much of Reagan's remarks, that there was laughter from the crowd. And then Begin continued with the following. "I don't like it, and I don't mean it, and I apologize in advance, but the story is interesting, so I will tell it. It goes like this. The president brought me into the Oval Office, and he showed me on the table three phones, one white and one blue. And he explained to me, the white is the direct line to Mrs. Thatcher, the blue to President Mitterrand. And then I asked him, what is the red phone? That is a direct line to God. So I asked the president, Mr. President, do you use it often? And the president said, oh no, very rarely, it's very expensive. Long distance, so long a distance, and I cannot afford it. I have to cut the budget, and... So then the president visited Jerusalem, and I showed him my office, and there are three phones. One was white, one was blue, and I said, the white is a direct line to President Sadat. By the by, I have such a line, and he has such a line. And the other, well, to Mrs. Thatcher. And there is a red phone, and the president asked, what is the red phone for? And I said, this is a direct line to God. So the president asked me, do you use it often? I say, every day. How can you afford it? And I said, here in Jerusalem, it is being considered a local call. Now, Mr. President, neither of us has direct lines to God. I only believe that God listens to the prayer of a Jew and a Christian and of a Muslim, of every human being. But if I have to continue with the story, then I will say that when you come, as I do believe, to Jerusalem, I will immediately put at your disposal the red phone on the house, a local call. So Begin said amidst the ever-continuing laughter, but there is a serious point to be made amidst the humor. In dedicating the temple, Solomon, like Begin, emphasized that the site was meant to be a locus for the prayers of Israelite and non-Israelite alike, for anyone in the world that prayed to God. And Solomon also emphasized that there would be a reason that Jew and non-Jew would turn in prayer to Jerusalem, the Jewish city of Jerusalem, because it was a dwelling place of the divine, and that therefore prayer in Jerusalem was actually, in a certain sense, a local call. This is the striking element of Jerusalem. And because of the connection between America and Israel that Begin highlighted, there have been many in American history that understood this. The two speeches taken together in tandem mark a wonderful moment of joy and good cheer at the White House, but they also are, each in their own way, meaningful and inspiring. And I conclude today's episode with Begin's own conclusion. He said, "I raise my glass to the President of the United States, a man of principle, a wonderful man whom we respect and love the first day we met." And Begin added, "to a great, devoted friend of the Jewish people and the State of Israel, and to the defender of freedom throughout the world." This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.